Episode 292, How to Win the Battle of the Mind.
It's the David Triggs Show. This is the podcast where you can get spiritual power and personal development for everyday life. It's gozo for the whole family, jamba juice for the soul, your daily dose of gozo.
Welcome everybody and welcome to the David Triggs Show, the daily dose of gozo, daily edition of this podcast of joy. Gozo TV, good morning. How are you, my dear friend? Got my Gozo bell right here. Got my Gozo hat, my Gozo mug. I know you can't see it, but by the way, if you would like to get any of the Gozo memorabilia and the Gozo merchandise, you just go to davidtrigg.com/shop and you can pick up your daily dose of Gozo, your Gozo mug, your Gozo t-shirts, and all the rest. How are you? This is Monday. Welcome to this brand new week. Summer is pretty much over. And here comes a fall, and today I want to talk to you about how to win the battle of the mind. The mind is where the battle really is, my dear Gozo friend. You may think that the things that you're dealing with are just circumstantial or maybe are outside of yourself, but really the battle, not only is it in the mind, but the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle in your mind over believing that you are enough or not is happening in your mind. And I want to give you a few tips. I want to give you 5 tips on how to win the battle of the mind, because if you do not win the battle of the mind, you will live in constant stress and fear of everything and everyone around you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? If you do not win the battle of the mind, you will go and do everything and anything to feel like you are enough. And yet in Christ, you are already enough. But why then don't we believe it? Why then do we live in shame? And so I want to give you 5 tips. Number one, and by the way, I'm going to be reading out of Romans chapter 8 here this morning. Number one is you have to control the input that you let into your brain. There's a passage in the Bible that it talks about that Satan is the prince of the air. So you want to think about Satan being the prince of the air like airwaves or like Wi-Fi, like a Wi-Fi signal. In my house, we have 100 up and 100 down megabytes. It's like supposed to be super lightning speed. But reality is that because we have 5 people that are heavy users of Wi-Fi and uploading this and my podcast and all the rest, it feels like it's one up and one down. It's super slow, especially during those, you know, the afternoon hours where even the bandwidth from our provider, I think it's being throttled. Anyway, all I mean to say is this. Think of Satan like that Wi-Fi signal in your house or on the road, you know, if it's just your phone signal. Sometimes that signal is just so strong in a negative way, let me put it this way though, that you're just hearing all these voices in your head. You're hearing all these lies and you don't know what to do. Other times that signal is low and it seems that Satan maybe is not bothering you. But many times the things that you tell yourself, especially the negative things that you tell yourself, mostly the negative things, only the negative things that you tell yourself. Remember, Satan will never give you something positive. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But when those things come into your mind, that's because Satan is the prince of the air. And they're like airwaves or a Wi-Fi signal coming into your brain, filling you with negativity. I woke up that way this morning. Something happened yesterday, even though it was the best day of my life, Sunday, like every Sunday is the best day of my life. I woke up with 1,001 negative feelings. And what did I do? I controlled my input. And so what I mean by this, you have to control what you listen to, what you watch online. If you go to Instagram or Facebook, or if you're on the radio, or if you're on the road, you have to control the things that you allow into your brain. Because once that thought is there, that Satan puts, you know, the prince of the air, once that Wi-Fi signal hits your brain, you now have a responsibility to either amplify that negative thought or to defeat it in the power of the blood of Jesus. And the only way that you can defeat that negative thought, let's say it's that you're ugly or that you're a failure. That's normally that, well, both of them are true of me, but certainly the failure thing is usually the thing. Guilt and shame. I mean, like everyone. But for me, without a doubt, as an INFJ and all these things, I deal with fear and shame and guilt all the time. What did I do wrong this time, God? And so when I'm in that space, I have to watch what I listen to, what I allow into my head. And so this morning, I woke up listening to some amazing podcast. I woke up listening to the Word of God. I went to the Bible and read some of the things that I was talking about yesterday. There was this one podcast that was getting just too negative, and so I turned it off because I have to control what I let into my brain when I'm in that negative spin cycle. Control what you listen to. Don't self-sabotage. Sometimes when we're in that negative space, you know what our brain does? It's looking for evidence of why we are horrible. And so we literally will go looking for trouble. You know what I'm talking about? You'll go looking for evidence of why you're such a whatever it is, you know, why you're not enough and why you are guilty as charged. And so you have to control what you let in. Be aware that many of us will let negative stuff in. We revel in it because we're almost trying to prove to ourselves what Satan is telling us. Instead, listen to godly things. Listen to positive messages from God. Listen, and most of all, I don't even know how many people listen to stuff. It's mostly through our eyes. Because we're such a video and picture society and we're addicted to social media, you have to watch what you're looking at online. If pictures of that beautiful couple are causing you to believe the worst about you, then guess what? Just put that story on pause. Just mute that channel. If going online and watching Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, whatever your news thing is, if that's causing you to become more angry against your brother, against the government, against healthcare, against immigration laws, then guess what? Mute that for a day. Mute that until that spirit of the devil, of lies and deception has left. Control what you listen to. That's number one. Number two is declare words of truth and don't just think about them. Declare words of deliverance and of praise and of worship to yourself and into the air, into the atmosphere, and don't just think about them. In Revelation chapter 13, it says that, again, that Satan is a prince of the air. But the way that we defeat the prince of the air, think of it as those anti-missile cruise missiles. I don't know. You know those in the movies or even in the news, you hear about those ground-to-air missiles that whenever the other country, let's say North Korea, launches, God forbid, a nuclear weapon to New York, then the ships that are out there by North Korea will send these missiles into the air to destroy that nuclear weapon. In the same way, glory to God, that was from the Lord. In the same way, when Satan is throwing nuclear weapons at you, you need to throw into the air words of praise. You can't just think about these things. Imagine that ship, once again, going back to that analogy, imagine if the people on that ship, the captain, the admiral, if he's just thinking about defeating that nuclear weapon, even though he has these bombs or all these things, and I'm sorry, this is like a violent analogy. I'm not, you know, in some ways this is aggressive, but you know what I mean, right? So imagine if the captain or the admiral or the general, imagine if instead of actually pushing the button, he's just thinking about happy thoughts or even thinking about defeating the enemy. He's going to lose. You, in the same way, you have to press the button and activate your mouth. So now let's practice. What does that mean? It means that when that negative thought comes, you have to say, in the name of Jesus, I praise you, Lord. I defeat you, Satan, by the power of the blood of Jesus. That's a lot of powerful stuff I just said. And for a lot of people that maybe grew up when I'm more conservative, I grew up conservative. I didn't grow up with this stuff, but I learned it quickly in my teenage years. And now, of course, I practice it as much as I can. I forget all the time as well, but I learned this stuff. So for a lot of you, maybe you didn't grow up with this. You have to begin to practice or imitate people around you that are this way. If maybe you're not that way, you're not a holy roller, charismatic, Pentecostal, all these things that we label as almost things that are against God or that we're not into or that we're not sure of. Instead of thinking all that stuff, simply hear the truth for what it is. Declare with your lips words of praise. Lord, I love you. Lord, you are enough. Lord, you are my Savior. In the name of Jesus, I defeat that lie that I'm shameful, that I'm not enough, that I am in trouble, that I hate people, that I don't really love you, that I'm just a fake, and that I'm not enough, that look at what I did the other night. How can I possibly be here worshiping you if last night I was yelling at my kids? I'm not saying those things didn't happen. Remember, we do make those mistakes, right? I mean, but it's about you believing the truth that even though, as Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Though my sin be great, my life now has been washed white as snow by the blood of Jesus. You have been washed by the blood of Jesus. If you know Christ, and that's a big if, obviously, but if you know Christ, you are covered by the blood of Jesus, not as a license to sin, but as a license to love the Savior. Declare words. Don't just think them. Declare. So practically just say, I love you, Lord. When you're having that terrible morning or terrible evening or you're being distracted by this and that, just simply say, I praise you, God. And guess what? How long should you say it? Until that thought leaves. It could be 5 minutes, 20 minutes. It could be 2, 3, 5 days. Declare words of truth to yourself and into the atmosphere until that thought leaves in Jesus' name. Number three is defeat Satan because, and I already said this, he is the prince of the air. And I just want to maybe just quickly touch on this. Satan is in the air. He can get inside of you if you're a child of God. Now, his demons can definitely come and influence you. I know a lot of Christians that are influenced by Satan regularly. Not because they have somehow like scary eyes, well, sometimes, but because they give in to anger, hate, violence, pessimism, all the rest. All the things that this world will do to you. You're allowing the spirit of the age to come upon you. And for that moment, it's defeating you. But remember, Satan is defeated. He is the one that has no power over you. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Greater is he who is the creator of the universe, who created the heavens and the earth. Yes, even the air and the atmosphere, even the air itself belongs to Christ. Even though he is allowing for a season for Satan to be the prince of the air, once Jesus returns, he will defeat the prince of the air and we will worship the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, who is Christ the King. Gospel bell right there when we drop some gospel truth. Defeat Satan. Be aware that it's not your mom. It's not the in-laws. It's not your ex. It's not your kids. It's not your boss. It's not Trump. It's not the laws of the land. It's not the economy. It's not the boss. It's not the owner of your building. It's not the landlord who you're fighting against. What does the Bible say in 2 Corinthians? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities of this world, of this age. So defeat Satan. Realize that behind the things that you're believing, behind the lies, those moments where someone comes to your door and says something negative, those moments where maybe even you say something stupid to people, we do that sometimes. Those are the moments where you have to say, the blood of Jesus, cover me, Lord. Forgive me, Holy Spirit. Help me to love you so that you don't descend into that place of despair. So that's number three. Number four, five tips on how to win the battle of the mind. Number four, you have the mind of Christ. You already have the mind of Christ. I want to take you actually to, I said Romans, but I want to read a passage from 1 Corinthians 2:16. This is a powerful message. And then I'll read the Romans text. It says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? Obviously, this is like a Job kind of thing. You know, when Job was complaining, he didn't deny God. He didn't curse God. He didn't walk away. He didn't just tell God to go ahead and just, you know, go wherever, right? Instead, what he did, he tried to understand God. He's like, okay, I need to understand, right? And sometimes we try to defeat the spiritual with our flesh. We try to defeat what we see on this earth with our own skills and knowledge. It's not going to happen. It says here, for who has understood the mind of Christ? No one. But look at what he says right next to that. But we have the mind of Christ. Glory to God. What does that mean? It means that even though in your flesh, you have no clue what's happening to you. Have you ever felt like you don't even know what's going on? Like, why is this happening to me? You know, in your marriage, or if you're a young person, or in your spirit, or in your at work, in your own mind, you're thinking, why am I feeling this way? What's going on here, God? You have the mind of Christ. And so therefore, you can access within you, by the Spirit of God, the right thinking that you need, the kind of thinking that you actually need in your life. For who has understood the mind of the Lord? We have the mind of Christ. Let me take you to Romans 8. Speaking of the mind, this is a powerful verse that I know it blessed a lot of people yesterday, so I know it's going to touch some of you here. Speaking of the mind, how the battle belongs to the Lord, the battle of the mind is yours to win. Look at what it says here. It says, for those who are according, Romans 8, 5, for those who are according to the flesh, set their minds. That sentence is not well written. For those who are according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Okay, maybe I'm misreading this. Let me go back a few verses so this makes sense. Somehow it's not making sense to me. Okay, verse 3. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Okay, so that's the intro. Now, here it is. For those who are according to the flesh, see, that should say who have. Anyway, for those who have, let me just do that. According to the flesh, set their minds in the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh, here it is death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God. For it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, he says, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. I know that's super deep and a lot of stuff in there. Let me just simplify it for you. When you're thinking godly thoughts, you will live a godly life. One more time. When you're thinking godly thoughts, you will live a godly life. But when you're thinking negative, evil thoughts, you will live a life of evil and in the flesh. You will live an evil life. That's why he says here that it's not that God is against you. Of course not. It's that the flesh in us is actually hostile or against God. And the way that starts is when you begin to think negative thoughts. Have you ever found yourself, even though you love God, thinking that maybe God isn't that good? Maybe God isn't faithful? That's because you're focused on the flesh, on our problems, on our needs, on what happened yesterday, on the job that we didn't get, on all these clients that are against you, that my employees always show up late. Every time that you're focused on the flesh, on negative things. Now, the flesh isn't evil. When he's talking about the flesh, he's talking about the part of us that's against God, that is allowing the negativity and the hate to come and take hold of us. So he's saying, when you focus on that, then your life will reflect that. It's like he says in Matthew 5 and 6, that wherever your treasure is, there also your life will be. Your heart will also be there. Whatever you set your eyes on, he's using here the word mind, which is even deeper. Whatever you think of, whatever you dwell on, you will become. That's why he says later in Philippians 4, he says, whatever is lovely, whatever is true, think on these things. Think on what's true about you. You are a child of God. You are loved by God. You belong to him. You don't have to give in to that negativity, into that addiction, into that hate, into that violence, into that depression, because you have a new mind. You have the mind of Christ. And so therefore, you have all the power you need through Christ. But when we focus, like it says here, on the flesh, you will experience death. spiritual death, physical death. Yes, when you focus, I mean, how do people commit suicide? Because they're focusing on the flesh. They're focusing on the pains of this world. They're focusing on the fact that they're not enough. They're focusing on what dad said or what mom said or the fact that they grew up without a father or maybe without a family. But when the mind is set on the spirit, what happens? You live a beautiful life of peace. You live a life of joy, a life of gozo, like we say here. So you have the mind of Christ. And then lastly, you have to do this every second of the day, every minute, every day, every hour. You have to practice these tools. You know, I used to think that just knowing these things was enough. I used to think that my knowledge was going to just be enough. I thought even just going to church was going to be enough for me to defeat these negative lies. I thought that counseling, I went to counseling for 10 years. And let me just say this, it didn't help much. I maybe spent over $10,000, maybe $20,000, maybe more on counseling, because counseling ain't free nor cheap. No gozo. Counseling should be free. I'm talking about the awesomeness of counseling. Should be free. It wasn't until I began to use the power of my mind, and not even my mind, the mind of Christ in me, that I began to overcome these lies. I'm not talking about that these thoughts don't come my way. Like I said, it came this morning. It actually started yesterday. All day, all night, and then all morning. And now I'm just beginning to get out from under that lie and that deception. It still comes. But the way that we don't stay there, or that we don't go and commit suicide or do something horrible, or we drink or overeat or overshop, the way that you defeat that negativity is through the mind of Christ that is already in you. When you speak this into the air, when you change the atmosphere, I love that song that says that we are beginning to praise God and we're going to change the atmosphere. The Spirit of God changes the atmosphere. That's why when we come into church, there's this atmosphere that changes you, because it's the atmosphere of the presence of God that is in the air. Not the prince of the air, Satan, but the Spirit of God. But you got to practice this every second, because these thoughts come at you every second. That's why you need to listen to the Trick Podcast of Joy every second. Put this on repeat in your car. Go to bed listening to this. Sign up for my membership site, my Gozo community, so that you can stay connected. Watch my videos on YouTube. Watch my videos on Facebook. Read my posts, my inspiring quotes on my public page or my private page, wherever you connect best. And I'm just joking. Do it whatever way you need to. But definitely look for the men and women of God who inspire you. Turn off all the Kim Kardashian, all the, what's that game these days that the boys are playing? Whatever that game is called. Take a break and listen to the Word of God, especially when you are in that negative spin cycle, thinking the worst. Do it every second, every minute, every day. That's the only way that you're going to defeat the enemy. And then just maybe clock it. I had a friend who would say, just got a watch or a clock or whatever, a stopwatch, and see how long it takes for that demon or that spirit to leave you. At first I thought I was a young man in my 20s. I thought, man, you're kind of spooky and weird. Guess what? That lady was so right. Now I wait. I think, okay, let's see how long this demon is going to take to leave as I practice these things. Sometimes that demonic influence leaves in seconds. Sometimes it takes, as I said, 24 hours, 48 hours. When I was unaware and blind to this stuff, it would take months, years for this stuff to leave. But now, as I practice more of the authority that is in me and in you through Christ, then I've begun to have more deliverance and more power over these things, even though they still come at me like they will you. And I guess maybe let me give you one more bonus point here. Stay away from all the Buddhist stuff that's out there. All this third eye, law of attraction, the secret. You know, it sounds so good because it's what the church hasn't talked about enough. We're so rational in the church. We're so about money and buildings and numbers and about helping the poor. Amazing things that need to happen. Unfortunately, we, especially the stuff about buildings and budgets, we live in this capitalistic society, right? And in this, whatever I want, and I vote with my money, and if not, I'm taking my ball and going somewhere else. It's unfortunate that the church has become that. But what's happening that is that we've left out the mystery of our faith. The spiritual aspect of our faith, this is just ridiculous that I'm saying this, but it's so true. Most of our churches ignore the spiritual aspect of what's happening behind the scenes in you and in me. My prayer for you today is that no matter what happens, that you will stay firm on the Word of God. I invite you to come back to the ways of Jesus. I apologize on behalf of the church for focusing on budgets and pews, even on service and volunteering, and not focusing you enough on the power of God that is in you, on the joy of the Lord that is in you, available to you. The mind of Christ is already in you. You are more than a conqueror. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure that you follow me on YouTube. Make sure that you follow me on Instagram so that the power of God can stay with you all day long. Be a part of my Gozo community. Go to davidtree.com/membership and God will do a great thing. May God be with you. May His joy be upon you. Remember that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And though there's pain in the night, Gozo come the morning. Have a great rest of this day and I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.